In the 19th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, the verse number 10, it says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want us to consider tonight four lost things in the Word of God. You know, one of the most worst feelings that one can have is the feeling of being lost, or having that feeling of loss. I think of a person standing outside their house, and now they've built that home and they've built everything up together, and now their house is on fire, and you can see them standing as the firemen try to save what they can. But the fire rages through that home, and they stand with the tears running down their cheeks because everything they worked for, they've lost everything. What an awful loss that is. Or maybe you look into the eyes of a person who was robbed, standing in a strange, crowded city, and everything they have has been taken from them. They don't know anyone. They don't know where to go, and they stand totally destitute. Not a friend. No help. But they've lost everything. Or the person that hears that unexpected news of the death of a loved one, and there they stand numbed by the suddenness of it all, and they feel that terrible loss and loneliness. I know that many, a widow and widower, have said to me that one of the sad moments for them is whenever they come back home for the first night, and they come back perhaps at a meeting just like this, and then the lights are out and nobody's there, and they realize how much that they've lost. I think of a young girl in Macarau on the 12th of July one day. This young girl, the parade was just over, down to the field, and she and her mother went up to the ice cream van to get ice cream, and her mother was paying for the ice cream, having given her daughter and bought one for herself. And the wee girl got so caught up with the ice cream, she started to wander off, thinking, of course, that mommy was there, but she wandered, and the place was packed with people. She wanders down the street there in Macarau, and she then looks round to reach out her hand, "Mammy." But Mammy's not there. And then in a moment that wee girl realizes she's lost. Standing amidst the crowd, there she is, she's lost. And a big policeman comes up and he gets right down to where the wee girl is. And he said, "What's wrong, darling?" She said, "Mister, I've lost my mammy. I'm lost." You know, the tears were running down that wee child's face. They weren't mock tears. To realize what it is to be lost. I said, I want you to come tonight to the Word of God, and I want you to notice four things that are lost. I want you to come to the Old Testament first of all, and we'll go to the book of 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings, in the chapter 22, and as we read here in this passage of God's Word, in 2 Kings chapter 22, in verse number 8, it says this, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." He found the book that was lost. You know, the Bible tells us that Hezekiah was a good and was a godly king. In the chapter 18 of this 2 Kings, in the verse number 3, it says, "And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." The Word of God tells us that in verse number 4, that he removed the high places, and he broke the images, and he cut down the groves, and he break in pieces the brazen serpents that Moses had made. "For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it." And friend, what we find here is this. His father had left the throne. His father had been a wicked and sinful person. His father had raised all of these idols. And here's this young lad, Hezekiah. He comes to the throne. He's 25 years of age. And he reigns for 29 years in Jerusalem. And he seeks to do that which is right. And he pulls down his father's high altars and removes them. He seeks to lead the nation back to God. But then Hezekiah dies. And his son Manasseh takes the throne. Now Manasseh was 12 years of age whenever he came to the throne. And he ruled there in Jerusalem for 55 years in Judah. And the word of God tells us concerning him in chapter 21 of this 2 Kings. He said this concerning this king. Verse number 2 of chapter 21. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he raised up altars for Baal and made groves, as Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Here's a boy that was raised in a godly home. But his father's now gone. The restrictions are now off his life, and so therefore he lives his own life. And here's a young lad, Manasseh, coming at 12 years to take the throne. But the word of God says, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And for 55 years, he was upon the throne. But you know, after 55 years, friend, he had to die. For the word of God says we all must needs die. And so we find as he dies, then someone else takes the throne. And the one who takes the throne is his son. And his son is Amon. And when he takes the throne, we find he was 22 years of age in verse 19 of chapter 21. He was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And verse 20, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So here we find another person who's leading the nation on against the will of God. He only reigned in Jerusalem 2 years, and then his servants, you know what they did? They rose up against their king. And they slew in his own house, they slew Amon, the king. And he dies. His son is a young man called Josiah, chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Here is a young man that takes the throne. He's only 8 years of age. Somehow, God has put a mark upon his heart. His father has died suddenly. His father has been slain by the servants. And he takes the throne, 8 years of age. You know, his mother had a godly influence upon him. And when he came 16 years of age, he was a young man that God worked in his heart, and he sought after the Lord. And then he sought to lead the nation. Right. During that time, you see, the house of God had been in disrepair. And so he had a burden for the house of God and for the things of God. And so therefore he would send people in to do the work and oversight the house of God. But of course they had to be paid. And so therefore he sent Shaphan the scribe, and he sent him to Hilkiah the high priest, and he sought to get the money out of the house of the Lord to pay the workers, rightly so. Shaphan comes to Hilkiah. He's looking for the money to pay the workers, and then as he hands over the money, he says something else to him. He says, Shaphan, you know, I found a book. Whenever the work has been going on in the house of God, I have found the book of the law of God in the house. Where was it lost, friend? Lost in the house of God. That's the tragedy. The scriptures had been lost, and here we see the lost scriptures lost in the house of God. How did it happen? We're not told. Did it happen because of carelessness? Has somebody mislaid the scriptures and someone neglected the scriptures? Has someone maliciously concealed the scriptures by some agent of the idolatrous king? Had it been carefully laid up by someone to prevent it falling into the hands of the Lord's enemies? Had it been because it had been abandoned because of the backsliding condition of the Jewish people of that day? We don't know how, but what we do know is it was lost. It was lost. What a tragedy. The scriptures lost in the house of the Lord. But you know, Hilkiah the high priest said, Shaphan, I have found the book. And you know, whenever Shaphan had heard that and handed it into his hand, he said, I must tell the king. And so he goes to King Josiah and he said, you know, whenever they were doing the work in the temple, they found that which was lost. They found the book of the law of God in the Lord's house. You know, the king read the book, or rather Shaphan read it to the king. And just to let you know the end of that story, friend, if you go to chapter 22 and verse number 19, it says this, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me. The king wept before God, friend. The king wept before God, and God heard his cry, and the nation was turned back to God through the reading of the Word of God. You say, what's that got to do with today, preacher? Let me tell you, friend, the great tragedy in many churches, the scriptures lost. The great tragedy today is in many pulpits, this book is not opened anymore. The preacher will stand in the pulpit and they tell them some earthly story, not tell them the Word of God, not preach them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why Paul said to Timothy before he went to a martyr's death, he says, Timothy, preach the Word. Preach it, Timothy. That's what we need in Ulster. That's what God blessed in the days of revival, friend, in town, in the center of Coleraine. What happened? God moved in the mighty heaven, sent Holy Ghost revival. What flew? The efforts of man, no, the preaching of the Word. What does Coleraine need tonight? Coleraine needs to get back to the book. What does men and women need to do? Get back to the book. What does our homes need to do? Get back to the book. For the scriptures were lost. You know, there are many people in Ulster, and they were brought up in Sunday schools, and they got a prize for the scriptures. And if you were to ask them where their Bible is, they couldn't tell you. It's stuck away in some shelf. Maybe it's stuck away in some drawer. It's put away somewhere else in some bookcase. It's never opened. The book's closed. And that's the tragedy of Ulster tonight. The lost scriptures. And it's not until we get back to God, friend, and get back to His Word. Oh, that our young people, listen, we have young people here. I say to you with all my heart, young people, I know about your books that you need to read for your education, but I'll tell you this, in God's name, don't forget the book. Don't forget God's book. Don't turn away from God's word to hear the word of man. The word of man will take you to hell. God's book shows you the way to heaven. It's God's word that tells a man that he's a sinner. It's God's word that tells a man that he's lost in his sin will go to hell forever and not for all eternity. It's God's word that tells us that God has provided in his Son a glorious and wonderful Savior. That we need not perish. We need not be lost. We need not be damned. Praise God, we can be saved. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. You walk according to the word of God, friend, and I'll tell you this. Your walk will be clean. And you'll know the blessing of God Almighty. You walk away from God's word, and I tell you, you're bringing judgment on yourself. You're bringing the judgment of God upon you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. We're walking in a dark world tonight. Men and women are headed to the outer darkness. They're headed to the blackness of darkness forever. But thank God, thy word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet. Lord, you can shine in the darkness. You know what a light does, friend? It dispels the darkness. And friend, you need, in your sin, you're in darkness. And you need the light of the gospel to shine in. The devil doesn't want that. The God of this world has blinded the minds and the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in. Oh, he doesn't want men and women to come to a church like this to hear the word. Let them jive their way and dance their way and drink their way to hell. And keep them away from God's house to hear God's way of salvation. Sad to say, listen, where was it lost? In the Lord's house. Thank God this is a preaching house. Thank God we still have in Ulster, we still have places where the word of God is still faithfully proclaimed. And I pray that God will ever keep those doors open. And ever keep a man in this pulpit that will preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to Macrofelt tonight. And all those years ago, whenever we built that church in Macrofelt, and they came to put the text upon the wall behind the pulpit of the preacher. And the Spirit of God wrote the text in my heart. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And friend, that text is still there. And I'll tell you, it can't be taken down. Because it's built out in stone. It's not a bit of plastic. It's built in brick. They'd have to take the wall down. You know what my prayer is? Every Sunday as God's servant faithfully steps up into that pulpit, that God will help him to preach the gospel of redeeming grace. And that's what we're here tonight. Because the gospel's good news. In a world of sadness, in a world of tragedy, in a world of lostness. Oh, God, bring us back to the book. Oh, that we'll find the book again. Hilkiah the priest says, I have found the book. I found the scriptures that were lost. But then quickly, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Here's something else lost. It's not the lost scriptures. It's a lost son. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, go to verse number 41. It says, now the parents, that was Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as he returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, the lost son. Now, this is one of the few chapters in the Bible, friend, that you read about the childhood of Christ. I think it's interesting, it's in Luke's Gospel, because Luke spends more time at the birth of Christ than any of the other Gospels. And here we find that Luke tells us about the Savior when he was 12 years of age. And the family of Joseph and Mary, they go up to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover every year. They make their way to Jerusalem. And then they're heading home. And as they're heading home, they enter into conversation. They get caught up with other things. Because the Bible says that Jesus tarried behind, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They didn't realize that Jesus was not with them. And that's your fact, it says in verse 44. They supposed him to have been in the company, and they went a day's journey. And then they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. Here we see this company of people that were heading back to Nazareth. And as they make their way back to Nazareth, friend, they get into conversation with their kinsfolks, and they get into conversation with their acquaintances, and they get their eyes off Jesus, and they don't recognize or don't realize that Jesus is not there. He's not there. And then they search for him. They search for him amongst his kinfolk and amongst the acquaintance, but he's not there. Where is he? He's lost. They feel he's lost. A lost son. And then they make their way back. And it says, when they returned after 3 days, they found him. You know, it's so easy, let's be honest, whenever we're raising children, and remember, they're a gift from God. Your children are precious, precious gift from God. But friend, it's so easy to get your eyes on other things. Kinsfolk, acquaintances, job, house, business, whatever you're doing. It's so easy to get caught up with those things. And lift your eyes of the family. Ah, yes, you suppose. Many a father, many a mother has supposed that their children were saved. Many a father and mother have supposed that their children were saved. But they weren't. They got their eyes on other things, let me tell you, and they saved all of those things, but they lost their family. Lost their family, caught up with other things. Is that you, friend? Have you taken your eyes of the most precious possession that God has given you, your family? And you've got caught up with other things and other people, kinsfolk, acquaintances. When you lifted your eyes and your children are going to hell. The hymn says, where is my wandering boy tonight? I wonder where he is. I wonder where she is. Your child. Maybe you suppose that all's well. But friend, God knows something else. And so do they. Young person, what about your heart? Are you right with God? Remember, I was holding a mission in Macrofelt. And one night I got a call from a young girl from Ballymena. She said, Mr. McRae, could I talk to you? And could I come to see you tonight? I made the arrangement for her to come before the meeting. We had an old a wee caravan outside the big tent that we had in Stony Park in Macrofell. And she came to see me that night and she said to me, Mr. McRae, I come reared in a brethren home. She said, my father and my mother are saved and the rest of the family are saved. And well, they think I'm saved too. In actual fact, I was baptized as the rest of the family were. She says, I've been coming to your mission here in Macrofell, and the Spirit of God has shown me that all I had was an empty profession. Not saved. Oh, the meeting house thinks I am. My family think I am. And that night I had the joy of pointing her and leading her to the Lord Jesus Christ. She could know she's saved. Let me ask you, are you saved, young person? Because it's possible to put on a show, possible to put on a face, and your family suppose that you're in that crowd. You're in the family of God. But you know, deep in your heart's not right with God. And let me tell you, my friend, God will take away the mask. And you're going to stand before Him, and you'll stand before Him naked in His presence. No pretense anymore. I beg you in God's name tonight, forget about the pretense. They sought for him for 3 days. And then thank God they found him. You ever thought of what that meant? When his mother Mary and Joseph, they realized that their son was lost. Remember some years ago, we went to a holiday to Ostend. We went along this day. There was 5 children and Anne and I and we went to Lavery and we were walking along there. And we went and got some, just like a wee girl in Mackerel, we went to get some ice cream. We got caught up with that. I never saw such a crowd of people along the sand. Thousands of them. And I mean thousands. Just covered in people. Beautiful day. And we all got our ice cream and then I looked around and just to check that everyone's there, but one of my children was missing. Friend, God knows the feeling of fear that gripped my heart. Where's my child? And we ran up and down. Anne went one way and Willie went another way and the rest of the children, they stayed together in a little bunch. We ran up and down that beach looking for her. Why? Because she was lost in a crowd in a strange land. Thank God, again, the big policeman stopped with her and was talking to her when I ran up. And she was standing with him. And I caught her in my arms. And I held her close. Thank God I found her. Is your child lost tonight? Tell me, does it bother you? Does it bother you your child's out in the world tonight? Does it bother you standing in the bar? Or in some house of ill fame? Will a lost soul go to hell? The lost son. But quickly. Luke's Gospel chapter 15. With the lost sheep. You know, friend, I want you to notice something here about the sheep. In the morning time that little lamb or sheep was with the rest of them. That man led out 100 sheep. And he counted them out of the pen. And he made his way out there to feed them, to get them the best grass that he had. And then something happened that day. One of those sheep wandered off. And anybody knows anything about sheep, they're a very foolish, a dumb animal. They naturally go astray. They wander off. Got caught up with the grass. And there it is, munching away. And it sees another little bunch over there. And it goes over there, not realizing it's getting further and further away from the rest of the flock. And it goes on. It's wandered off. The shepherd brings the sheep home that night, counts them in to the fold. 98, 99, about to say 100, but there's one missing. He counts them again, but once again there's one missing. He tells some of the others around them, you know, of only 99, there's one missing. They say, listen, be content. You have 99 of them, what about the one? But the shepherd loves that little sheep. The Bible tells us the good shepherd goes before the sheep and calls them all by name. But there's one missing. It's no longer with the flock. It's wandered off. You know, it needed a shepherd's care. And the shepherd had a love for the one lost sheep. Can I ask you a question tonight? I'm going to speak to the congregation in Coleraine. I wonder if you remember people that used to sit in these seats. And they used to be among the people of God and have wandered off. Tell me. Did you care? Did you say, let them go? I can't be bothered. Listen, I have 99. So I have the rest of them. It doesn't matter about the one. What does the shepherd do, friend? He closed the 99 into the fold and left them in the care of another shepherd. And the Bible says here in this passage of God's word that he leaves the 99, verse 4, in the wilderness and goes after that which was lost until he found it. No. He's not willing to leave it out there. He realizes that the sheep can be brought back. But somebody must love that sheep. Somebody must love to go after them. Don't leave it to somebody else, friend. Listen, there's still another week of the mission. In God's name, go out and get those lost sheep. Go out after them. Until you get them in. The Bible says the shepherd went after until he found it. Ah, yes, he has to climb the steep hills. He has got to go down into the ravines and cross the rivers. But he's going after. Why? Because he loves that wee sheep. Where's my lamb? Where's that wee sheep that I love? He goes after it. You say he's tired. Yes, he is. But love drives him on. And he goes after it. And then he hears the bleating of a wee lamb, the wee sheep. It's caught in the briars. And the more it tries to get away, the more it gets entangled in the briars. And it's lying there, helpless and hopeless.
was about to die. And the shepherd, it says verse 5, when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Oh, when he sees that wee sheep. There you are. I have loved you. And I wouldn't let go until I got you. Let me tell you, friend, whenever the shepherd came to that sheep, he didn't beat the head of it. He didn't give it a lecture. He didn't chase it home and drive it away in front. Get home with that, you silly wee sheep. No, he didn't. That wee sheep couldn't make it his own way. Tired, broken, weary, bruised. But the shepherd reached down and he put his two hands around the front wee legs and his two hands around the back two legs. And he lifts that wee sheep up and he puts it on his shoulder. And he says he did it. Rejoice. The joy of finding the sheep that was lost. And I want to tell you, friend, when I put the backslider back to the Lord, there's a joy in my heart. Praise God, the Lord has found it. And then he comes home. And he says, rejoice with me. For notice what he said, I have found my sheep. Don't miss any of the words. I have found my sheep that was lost. I said the lost scriptures. Friend, I said the lost song. I said a lost sheep. Lastly, the lost soul. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ says these words, solemn words they are indeed. What shall it profit a man, he said, verse 36, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for a soul? I remember a wee verse years ago I was taught as a child. In our church at home, they had a calendar. And each of the families put either a text of scripture or a verse in the calendar. And my mum and dad were unsaved. But this is the verse they put on the calendar. To lose your wealth. It's sad indeed. To lose your health, it's more. But to lose your soul, it's such a loss that no man can restore. What an awful thing, friend, to lose your soul. To die in sin. Knowing the gospel, hearing the gospel, hearing the pleading of the Spirit of God to your heart. And yet you walked on past the cross. It didn't bother you anymore. Your heart has grown hard and cold and careless on your way to hell. And then you die in your sin. Like Abner. You die as a fool dieth. Lost forever. When I was a boy, I had an uncle. He and my aunt had no family. They looked upon my sister and I as their family. We loved them very dearly. They were very good to us. We went to their home on holidays in the summertime.
It was only across the fields, but we loved being there with them. My uncle took ill, went into hospital. He had to have his leg amputated. I remember going up and sitting beside him as he lay unconscious after the operation. And then I had to go home. My mum and my aunt and another friend sat with him during the night hours. During the night hours before he died, he cried these words, "Oh hell, hell, hell," and breathed his last. A lost soul. My dear friends, let me ask you, what about your soul? Come on, stop the codding. I don't care what your life's built around tonight. I'll tell you, one day you'll be taken from it. You'll leave it behind. If you're living your life for money, let me tell you, you leave every penny of it. I've been a preacher for over 50 years in one congregation, friend. Listen, for those 50 years, and I've buried countless hundreds of people, and there never has been a penny in the shroud. Not one. Everyone had their pockets empty. And so will you. You've got to leave it all. But friend, it's not over. Eternity. And that loved one of mine is out in eternity tonight. And I can't change it. I can't change his destiny. I would have thought I could. And as a child, many nights I cried myself to sleep, thinking about a soul that was lost. But I can't change it. Friend, tonight, you're still in time. Thank God you can be saved. You don't need to go to hell. You don't need to perish. You don't need to go to a lost eternity and cry out in the depths of hell, "I'm lost! I'm lost! I'm lost!" See those other three? They are all found. The one that Jesus talked about there. To lose his own soul. Lost. Never found. I beg you tonight. Oh, that you be wise. That you understood this. That you would consider your latter end. Oh, come to Christ tonight. Thank God he's mighty to save. He'll pardon no matter how deep your sins are. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. And you become his child. And be as sure of heaven as you are there. That's the mercy and the grace and the miracle of God. Will you come to heaven? Come now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest every heart in this meeting. Thou knowest every man, every woman, every young person that's here. Thou knowest they're standing before thee. Every sitting in these seats tonight, there's a lost son. Maybe the family suppose that they're in the fold of God. Maybe in these seats tonight, Lord, there's a lost sheep. Once they walked with God. Once they were in the fold and family. But they wandered off, got caught up with the baubles of this world. The old devil took them back. But here tonight, thank God you can find them. Oh Lord, save souls from hell. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, as God's people are praying, I wonder if there's one tonight and you say before God, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Lead me to Jesus. Maybe a backslider. Be honest with yourself, friend. Be honest before God. Forget about the pretense. You're not right with God. Lord, I'm coming home. Just as I am, without one plea. Let's sing that little verse together, friend, in the quietness of this, the Lord's house. Just as I am. That's how you've got to come, friend. Just as you are, as a sinner, backslider. Just come as you are. Repent of your sin. And call upon the Lord to meet your soul's condition. Either salvation or restoration. O Lamb of God, I come. And as we sing this wee verse, if God's spoken to your heart and you say, preacher, I'd love to know Jesus, would you indicate that desire? And then after the meeting's over, we'll go to a little private room and open the scriptures and show you how you can get this settled for eternity, friend. Would you let us know your desire? Slip your hand above your head as we sing. Just.